As we left off yesterday, we were in the middle of the sugya of mitzvah lav hanas nitnu. So we realized that a very, very significant statement of the Gemara about this topic is found in the Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara talks about using a sandal, using a shoe of Avodah Zarah. And there are going to be other technical problems with the shoe of Avodah Zarah, too, respect to shuras. We'll put this in the next sugya. But right now, we're just focusing on mitzvah lav hanas nitnu. So the Gemara seems to say it's okay. You don't have much to worry about. Mitzvah lav hanas nitnu is going to carry the day. Nevertheless, the Gemara does speak about some kind of an issa l'chatchila, lo sachlitz, but you shouldn't really be doing it. Why not? So we had a big machlokes, the Eish Mefarshim against the Ramban, whether that's just a bit of meal, so whether it's a real issa of Hanoah. But the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Eish Mefarshim, everybody was bothered with this kasha. But he said, how can we justify doing a chalitza with the sandal of the Zara? Even if mitzvah Sabi Yonah said, no, there is a Hanoah Zagufi, there's clearly a Hanoah Zagufi, which is getting a... He's getting a free ride. She's going to be able to now get married. Up until now, she couldn't get married. Now she gets a heter to get married. Isn't that worth a lot of money? Doesn't that qualify as a hanah? So the Yesh Mefarshim said it does. That's exactly why she shouldn't be doing it l'chilchila. And the Ramban says no, it doesn't. And we showed why it doesn't. Because maybe it's too derech rama. Maybe that's the mitzvah itself. We have different nuances as to why. Somehow, for technical reasons, we're not worried with this hanah tegur. But if not for the technical reasons, we would have been worried. We would have been concerned with Hanoah Seguf, because the parsha of the Gemara is that mitzvah Hanoah Seguf only covers the Hanoah Mitzvah proper. It doesn't address, doesn't cover the Hanoah Seguf, and that was represented by the Gemara Maseches Roshana Daf Kaf Ches. The Gemara said that the person who wants to be toivel in the Mayon, which is also banal to him, the most like Shalom is a right, but the Chacham is a problem. So we understood everything was great, everything was wonderful. There is a concept called Hanoah Seguf. Hanoah Seguf is not covered by mitzvah Hanoah Seguf. Perishing Roshana Daf Kaf Ches. And that's why the Rishonim was searching for a reason why somehow the Hetter Nisuin falls short of being a problem. But notwithstanding the Ran's Shita as to how to learn the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, the Rishonim will disagree with the Ran. The Rishonim will say that Mitzvah Slav Yehudas Nitnu covers even Hanoah Seguf. The Rishonim Upasha should not have been bothered with this Kasha altogether. The Rishonim who have a totally different reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches about the Maya and Bimos HaChama. And the question is, who are those Rishonim? What do they say? What's the context of what they're saying? And is how ultimately do they address the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kaf Ches? And what impact does it have on Yevamos, which in turn, what impact does it have on us? So that's really where we left off yesterday. This idea of Hanoah Seguf, that the Ran saw in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, is an absolute insurmountable problem. Other Rishonim are not as convinced. And a lot of the discussion revolves around the Gemara in Maseches Nedar, put on the Maamar Koimus. The Gemara in the 7th of Maamar Koimus, so the Gemara talks about a strange situation. A couple's married, and the husband decides he takes some kind of a crazy neder that he's not going to be able to get Hanoah from his wife anymore. Obviously, that's going to pose serious problems in remaining happily married. So the Gemara discusses, can he really even make such a statement? Can a husband make such a statement? He's not going to be nana from his wife. What that's tantamount to saying is that they're not going to have relations anymore. They're not going to tashmish together. He can't do that. He's not a bias to do that. He's Meshubatar. It's a Shibud. It's the mitzvah of Oyin in the Torah. It's Dinim Amenis. He has an obligation. If he doesn't do Ona, I shall take him to the Din Torah. So how in the world can I take a neder, can a person take a neder to do something when I'm not in control? I'm not the Bayam. I don't even own the objects. I don't even own this Ona, so to speak, because I'm a Shibud to my wife. So there's a lot of finagles away how to get around that problem. Now, we can figure out a way how some of the Shibud becomes Pacha, and the neder kicks in, and Shalom Yisrael. I'm going to show myself except for this couple. Okay, fine. So that's how the Gemara ends off in the Maseches Adam and Seth. Okay. So it's Nitan Le'amer. It is, you could create a scenario of having a husband taking a neder, asering Hanos, Tashmish on himself. So comes the Ran on the spot, Maseches Nedarim, and asks the bomb kasha. What's the bomb kasha? If he takes such a neder, it should tell me what's the difference with her. Why? The chalitza, probably understand him. The mitzvah zayna, vayna sovi yigra. So one of the tag mitzvahs, the mitzvah vayna. So fractur on. Why does the Gemara say that if we can somehow figure out a way to finagle to get around the shibud, the nether is taifeis? What do you mean it's taifeis? It's mutter anyway. Because mitzvah vayna, what's the difference between that and shofar shel avodah zarah, the lulav shel avodah zarah, the sandal shel avodah zarah? What's the difference between that and the mikvah? It's mutter because mitzvah vayna understand him. Answers the Ran, not a great surprise. What's the Ran's teretz? We could have figured this out already. We probably weren't even bothered with the kasha. Why? The Ran says, I ain't what? What is the Ran reference to? I am Rosh Hashanah Kav Ches. What does it say, Rosh Hashanah Kav Ches? The two magic words in Hanoah Seguf. Says the Ran, But medivar mamurim mitzvah lat hanos nitnu is a matir. That's in the absence of hanos aguf, but in the presence of hanos aguf. So hanos aguf is a problem. Mitzvah lat hanos nitnu can't cancel. We can't ignore hanos aguf. And therefore, says the Ran, the case of hanos tashmish is not all that different than a mikvah when in the what time of the year? In the Mosa Chama, as we enjoy the beginning of the Mosa Chama season today. So comes the Ran and says, Mikvah b'Mosa Chama, Lamayan really, b'Mosa Chama, is the halach equivalent of Hanos Tashmish, because although both of them do have a mitzvah, here there's the mitzvah of Tevila, here there's the mitzvah of Ona, but since there's Hanos HaGuf here, Hanos HaGuf here, Hanos HaGuf trump any kulas of mitzvahs Avi Hanusman. That's the Ran's theory. Comes the Rashba in Maseches Nedarim and asks the exact same question as the Ran. We'll put it in the Mamakomis. Comes the Rashba in Nedarim and the ninth of the Mamakomis asks the same kasha as the Ran. Why is there a problem by Hanos Tashmishai? He says, what's the problem? Da mitzuva b'mitzvahs oina u'mitzvahs lavi hanos nitnu u'mayishtav mudra nami shayfa d'takebat kishol mitzvah. So the Rashi asked the same question, and we're like sitting there and say, oh, come on. We came all the way, we drove over the bridge, we braved the blizzard, the snowstorm of 2018, the fourth snowstorm of March 2018, just to hear the same kasha. The Rashi preferred the same kasha as the Ran. He's going to give the same parrots, right? V'yeshloim hanos aguf shayni, right? Wrong. The Rashba asked the kasha, and we're much more interested right now in what the Rashba didn't say than in what he said. The Rashba does not give the answer to the Ran. He doesn't take the easy way out. Doesn't say hanos aguf shayni. Zeman Fendorf, and the fact that he doesn't say the easy answer, that he probably holds that the easier answer is not the correct one. Not everything that's easy is always right. So from the fact that the Rashba didn't give the answer, no, it's a good shiny, and don't ask any more kashas, you see clear that the Rashba held mitzvahs lavi hanos nitnu covers even hanos aguf. Hanos aguf is also subsumed under the general category of mitzvahs lavi hanos nitnu. Again, I know Rosh Hashanah Kavches. We have a long way to go to figure out what Mayim B'Mosa Chama means according to the Rashba, but I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean what the Ran says. It does not mean there's a concept of hanos aguf. You don't have to reckon with hanos aguf. Hanos aguf is not an issue. So from the fact that the Rashba didn't give the simplest answer to the Kasha, it's clear he disagrees with the Ran. So Taka, what complicated answers did he give? Very, very lumdish, grandiose, razzle-dazzle, terutzim, that he didn't want to give the easy one. Look what the Rashba does say. Rashba says in 19 Mamakoymas, V'yeshlemi de mitzvah zil eina ela machmasa v'lo machmasoi u'mishum de bishtapit lo v'kevan what does the Rashba say? The Rashba is working with the mindset mitzvah v'yodas nitnu was a matil l'gamrei. So if it's a matil l'gamrei, even if there's hanos aguf present, it's a matil l'gamrei. So why does mitzvah v'yodas nitnu fail us over here? No, it's up to Rashba because there's no what? There's no what? There's no mitzvah. No mitzvah. You forgot poskim v'ash mishpatim. Oh, you know. Zok the Rashba, what's the mitzvah of Oina? Oina is like putting on tefillin. Oina is like shaking a lulav, like eating matzah. Oina is your mitzvah. You, Ben Yisrael, Mechayev, in the mitzvah Torah of Oina, it's not the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Oina? The mitzvah of Oina is, you have a mitzvah to be together with your wife. She has a tie against you. A couple gets married, so she has a schusim. The Torah gives a certain schusim. Share sus for Oina. If the husband decides he's not going to give her food, she comes to him and says, I'm hungry, I want to go buy an ice cream. He says, I refuse to give you money for an ice cream. She takes it to a din Torah. He's mechuyav to support her. Or she comes before Yom Tov and says, I want a new dress for Yom Tov. He says, nope, we had the same rags for the last 20 years. I'm not going to buy you clothing. She takes it to a din Torah. Sus. Well, if she wants to be together, he says, nope, I'm not interested. I want to cause you aggravation. So she has rights to take him to, she can demand for divorce. Onas liyikra, he's not providing what the Torah's meshabed him to do. The mitzvah of Oina is a mitzvah that's novas, that emanates from her. When she has a shibud against him, then he becomes mechuyev in the mitzvah to be perech vasai. So comes the Rashba and says, if we can finagle with the shibud, if we could figure out a way in Cheshe Mishpat and Divin Evan Ez, whatever you want to call it, a way to unravel the shibud, once the shibud is poka, the mitzvah disappears also. How does this shibut disappear? When he takes the neder, says hocus pocus, the neder has the ability to be mafkiya shibut. How that works, got to learn subas, the nadar, got to learn a lot of things. But he takes a neder in such a manner, such a lashon, that now the shibut is command alaysa. Once the shibut is command alaysa, what else is command alaysa? If the shibut is command alaysa, what else is command alaysa? The mitzvah is command alaysa. If the mitzvah is command alaysa, what principle doesn't work anymore? It's not called mitzvah slavi honest anymore. And therefore we have a problem. And that's pshat in the Gemara. So wow, that's such a lomdash, a cheshav mishpat, shibud, the maisalach, the nature of the mitzvah. He's got to redefine, reformulate the mitzvah's oina. Why did Rashi need this? Why did he just say, just call it hanas aguf and call it a day? So the answer is because he probably didn't buy into the Rashi. He probably held the mitzvah on his new cover as hanas aguf as well. The Rashi, I cut off the last line of the Rashi, I'm sorry. The Rashi then adds another nekuda. He says, wait a second, there's another mitzvah here. What's the other mitzvah here? We forgot the mitzvah per Rivia. Isn't that also a mitzvah? So vaita hadakush laduchta. It's a mitzvah. And for the Rashba, no. There's a mitzvah. But who says what? There's other people to get married to. You can have children with somebody else. Who says to do this mitzvah with this woman? So that's not called the mitzvah peruvu anymore. Interesting Rashba. Talk a very interesting Rashba. Very interesting Rashba. You have to think about that a lot, but we're not going to think about that. So Rabbi Isai, we have a machlokes now, the Ran and the Rashba. The Ran, both in Maseches Nedarim and in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, is the big believer. And Hanos HaGuf plays a critical role in undermining the application of mitzvah Tavi Honos Nenu. And the Rashba obviously didn't hold that way. So the fact that he asked the Kashya Nedarim, gave these roundabout Mechudish Tikkun Terutzim, wasn't quite understand them, and didn't just come straight forward and say, Hanos HaGuf Shani, it's clear the Rashba disagreed with the Ran. Of course, the problem now, the Rashba's in the corner, because what does he have to explain? Mashan Daf Kavches. What's Pshat Mashan Daf Kavches? What's Pshat Mashan Daf Kavches according to the Rashba? What's Pshat? Who's going to tell me? Who's going to tell me? What is Pshat Mashan Daf Kavches? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? That's true. What you're saying is correct. I'm just not sure whether it's the true, relevant, the true or relevant. I'm not sure whether that is, I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting chiluk. I'm not sure that's the kaveh. I don't know. Maybe. Is there something else? What we're really looking for is almost a difference between what's special Rosh Hashanah Kavches and Aleph.
Tefillah is a matir and not a...
But the problem is the Gemara... Now, that may or may not be true, but the Gemara calls mitzvah v'rezidu by tefillah. Because the ma'isa b'mosek charif is mutter. B'mosek sham is mutter. You question the whole Gemara. How did the Gemara know mitzvah v'nas binus? And the answer is mitzvah v'nas binus probably applies. It applies to chalitza. Even the chalitza may also not be a mitzvah necessarily. So it's a religious act. That's enough for mitzvah v'nas binus. So I'm still trying to understand what is really going on in Rosh Hashanah Kavches that's posing a problem. The mayim b'mosa chama. Is it? If it's not a problem for us, a goof, what is it? So the Meiri in Rosh Hashanah suggests the following. The Mayan in Rosh Hashanah Kavches is much worse than just an Anos HaGuf. It's an Anos HaGuf that outlives the mitzvah itself. Because if you think about it, a guy's really hot. He goes in, takes a geshmaka, swim, cools off. He comes out of the Mayan that was also in Hotim, and how does he feel? It's geshmak. He feels cool. He feels refreshed. Come on, you climb up Masadi and you end up in the, not Masadi, and Ged, you end up in that oasis at the end. Come on, it's geschmack, it's gewaldic. And it keeps you going for another 20 minutes. Zach to me, Riba Medeva Mamurim, that the Rashbat Gezach, that Hanas HaGuf is included in the Hanas HaMitzvah, and therefore we cancel it, negate it, and we just call it Mitzvah HaNas, and we'll call it a day. That's only true when the Hanas HaGuf is simultaneous to the Hanas HaMitzvah. But when the Hanas HaGuf takes on a life in and of itself and proof positive it exists even past the point of an Asa Mitzvah, if that's the case, even the Rashba concedes to that. And that's what's going on in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kavches. So everybody say, what's Pshat in this Miri? What do these words mean? So Bishlam of the Ran is very simple. The Ran is straightforward. If Hanas HaGuf is present, we have a problem in a Torah. If Hanas HaGuf is absent, then we're okay in a Torah. But according to the Rashba, if the Rashba would have been, you know, consistent and said, a mitzvah, to be honest, didn't know, is a glatahet, the mahadim, green card, not, don't ask any kashas. Green light, do whatever you want. Mitzvah, to be honest, didn't know. So if you would have taken that extreme view, I would have understood. But once the Rosh was meshubah to the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah Kavchas, that you have to tone it down and you have to say that sometimes yes, sometimes no. Some Anos HaGufs are okay, some are not. If it's B'shas HaMitzvah, then it's okay. Shalom B'shas HaMitzvah, it's not okay. Once we start, as we've said so many times in learning and in life, when you have extreme views, they're very easy to defend. When you start to mix and match, and you start to contradict yourself, and you start to say there are 2 dirhams, 3 dirhams, 5 dirhams, 16 different factors, that becomes much more difficult to explain. It may be right, but it's more difficult to explain. So conceptually, what's pshat? What's going on in this Rashba? That Hanos HaGuf that comes simultaneous to the Hanos HaMitzvah, that we can swallow. Hanos HaGuf that continues on its own, that becomes problematic. What's pshat? What's the Bir HaDover? Because this seems to be the answer. The Meiri seems to be the only key to understanding the Rashba. What's pshat in that chiluk? So the Chora, this Hanos HaGuf Yachazman could really be understood in one of two ways. It could be understood as a real iron-clear, hardcore distinction in real pure lamdas, and I mean even on the level of deraisa. It's not that hard to explain away mid-deraisa. It's really not that difficult conceptually. Kol zman that the Hanos HaGuf coincides with the Hanos Mitzvah, we can almost say that the Hanos that you're receiving is basically the Hanos HaMitzvah. That's the much more important part. And any Hanah that's kind of coming along is almost tangential, is almost secondary. We can even use a word, no, it's not as mean, literally, it's almost like batel, almost like tafel. It's like Hilchos Brachos. You know, what are you really eating? I'm eating French fries with a little bit of ketchup. There's ketchup. Yeah, no, I'm tasting the ketchup, enjoying the ketchup, that's true. But at the end of the day, the ketchup is batel to the French fries. And harai, Hilchos Brachos, I mean, it's not perfect, right? It's terchem boshel. The brachos is bar priyadon. So the same thing is true. A guy is doing a mitzvah, and he's getting two hanos. One hanos is he's getting schar and olam haba, olam va, and he's doing a mitzvah. It's gevaldik, beirutik, wonderful, and he's also getting a little bit of a chap around, a little bit of hanos. B'shehanos aguf b'shes ma'isa. So what is the hanos? Is the hanos nikra al shem the ikar hanos of the mitzvah, or is al shem the hanos aguf? So that's what the Meiri is saying with us at Rashba. Kol zman that the Hanos HaGuf is coinciding with the Hanos Mitzvah, the Hanos is labeled apidin amin haTorah. This is called, because for the Dirim of the Dorim, you have to be magdi. Is this called the Hanos or not called the Hanos? The answer is, it's called Hanos Mitzvah. Oh, but the Dirim is Mitzvah Slavon Hanos Didnu. So since the Hanos Mitzvah is not Tlifis, as a Shem Hanos, the Meila, anything that coincides, everything that's Tufel and Batel to it, is Vaita, not called Hanos. Because you look at the global picture of Hanos over here. As long as the Hanos HaGuf is tagging on and connecting on, holding on for dear life to Hanos HaMitzvah, so then it becomes bottled to Hanos HaMitzvah. Hanos HaMitzvah is mutter, mitzvah v'Hanos Dinu. So the male, everything is mutter. That's one way of learning. Hanos HaGuf l'achazman changes everything. Because when there's Hanos HaGuf l'achazman, it's not bottled anymore. It's like eating French fries and then an hour later eating ketchup. So if you eat ketchup, what bracha to make on ketchup? I don't know what bracha to make on ketchup. Remember years ago, in the public schools, so they were trying to cut down on the expenses for the school lunches. I think like the rule was or something, they had to give like two vegetables or something. So they're trying to claim that ketchup counted as a vegetable. The Kiddush, the tomatoes. Okay. So Rabbi Zayin, some yeshiva bachum, that's the most extent of vegetables that you eat.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. It's a fruit. Okay, fruits and vegetables. Chocolate and ketchup. Okay. So if we're dealing with a Hagdara on the level of the Raisa, Hanos HaGuf L'achazman is considered to be Muvdal Mehanos HaMitzvah, and then it takes on a life itself with the Raisa. That's one way of learning. Or maybe we can tone it down a little bit. So Rabbi Shaz in the Tshuva, well, he wants to tone it down a little bit. So, this Me'iri, this Rashba, it's not it. In the Torah, even Hanos HaGuf L'achazman is mutter. What's the problem with the Rabbanim and Hanos HaGuf L'achazman? What's going to happen? If you let a person do Hanos HaGuf L'achazman, what's going to happen? Then you may end up, the guy's going to go into the mikvah, right? So he's going to go into the mikvah, and he's gonna toivel. It's mosachama. It's blazing hot outside. He goes in, he comes out, and what's he gonna do? He's not gonna go out so fast. Taka likes it, it's taka fun, it's enjoyable. I remember my first year in Biavne. So anyway, can Biavne poison? So there was no mikveh yet in the yeshiva. Now, years later, there was a mikveh. There was no mikveh on campus in the yeshiva. So at Erev Rosh Hashanah, they took us to the beach in Ashdod. So the deal was that we were allowed to be in the water for 20 minutes. That was it. You know, first we hadn't, in those days, you didn't leave yeshiva from Ashkosh El till Yom Kippur. Nobody walked out of yeshiva. So we had been, for a month already in yeshiva. So that was the big treat. Erev Rosh Hashanah, for 20 minutes, we were allowed to go. We were there anyway, because they were already there. For 20 minutes, Erev Rosh Hashanah let us swim in the beach. So apparently, some of the Bachrim, took advantage of it and stayed a little bit past the Zman, past the Shir. They were there 22 minutes, 25 minutes, half hour there in the beach. So when the word got back to Rosh Hashiva, so he announced that Erev Yom Kippur, we're not going to the beach anymore. So the Bachrim took advantage. He said, well, they're going to send it to some mikveh somewhere. Somewhere they brought it to some mikveh. That 400 guys of Shiva lined up for one mikveh. So it took most of the day Erev Yom Kippur to go. Anyway, so Rabbi Sai, it's a good chance, if it's a hot day, the guy's going to go in and we're going to say to him, it's mutafir to toivel, because it's tefillas mitzvah. The guy's going to hang around for longer. Because hanging around for longer won't be a mitzvah anymore, and it won't become a mitzvah that else didn't know. So in the chinam, he says, Ramosha, if you're only focusing on the hanor that's coming, machmas the mitzvah, even if that hanor really does last afterwards, and when you come out, you feel better, that hanor is still toffel, still bottle to the mitzvah itself. Any hanor that came about, that started b'shas mitzvah, even though it's taking on life itself, it's still mutter min haTorah. The only concern of the Meiri Hanasa Gupta Chazman is a concern with the Rabbanon. Man mid the Rabbanon, something like that. Shema Yamshich Lehonos Ba'achar HaMitzvah. That's a whole different picture, a whole different book. So this din, clearly the Miri is right. No question, this is the Rash Rish Pshad Rosh Hashanah Kav Ches, that the reason why the mikveh is out of bounds is because there's an osa guf liachar zman. But we're not quite sure, is it a real problem deraisa, is a lingering, ongoing hanor a problem deraisa, or is it only a problem derabon and shemi yamshech lahanas dechon? So by say, let's take this whole sugya now and go back to the chalitza story. I would say back to Ashugir, we're not yet there yet. Back to the Chalitza story. What did it say in Masechet Yevamos? Sandal shel aved zara lo yachloitz v'imcholtza chalitza osik sheira. Every Rishon was bothered with the same kasha. What was the same kasha? What was the same kasha? No? The Gemara says that lo sachlos v'imcholtza chalitza osik sheira. The reason being because mitzvah v'yodas nitnu. Every Rishon was bothered with what kasha? Isn't there what? Isn't there what kind of hana? Hana is hetel inase, right? Which is tantamount to asking, isn't there hana saguf? Right? The Yesh Mefarshim said that kasha, and the Ramban said the kasha, and the Ritva said that. Every Rishon under the sun asked that kasha. What happened to hana saguf? And everyone gives different answers. The Yesh Mefarshim said the tach. Is there a problem? The Ritva says, there's no problem, there's no problem. It's a grum, it's a this, it's a that. Everyone dealt with the kasha. Every Rishon under the sun dealt with the kasha. Including which Rishon deals with the kasha? Can anyone guess? I didn't put it in the memory cameras. Can you guess? The Rashba is the same kasha. The Rashi in Yevamos is from the Talmidim, from Ramban, for the generation before the Ritva. It's part of that same line of Chachmei Sfarim. This general four Rishonim, give or take, the four main thrust of the Chachmei Sfarim, for the Mefarshim and Shas of Chachmei Sfarim. Who are they? There's the Ramban, there's the Rashba, there's the Ritva, and the Ran. I mean, there are a bunch of others also, but those are the four almost grouping in a row. 9 out of 10 times, you'll see the same kasha in all four of those Rishonim. If the Ramban has the kasha ready, then the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran are probably going to follow suit. They won't always give the same teret. Sometimes they'll ask the kasha a little bit different. Sometimes they won't ask the kasha. But there's a very, very good chance they're all talking the same. That was the language. That was like the brisk of, like today. Everyone says the same Torahs. They're all saying the same, more or less the same halach. So the Rashba and Yevamos, he has the same kasha. He says, how in the world could we sanction chalitza with a sandal shel aved zara? Typically, we have a big problem on our hands, namely, it's a nos aguf of hetali nosay. So I ask you, Rabbi, it's a penalty marking down on the Rashba. It doesn't bother me that the Rani has the kasha. But it bothers me that the Rashba has the kasha. Why? Because the Rashba is the Rishon in Nidarim who doesn't buy into Anas HaGuf. And how did I know that? He never said it, but from what he didn't say, I know that. So the fact that he asked the Kashmir Anas HaShmisho and didn't give the simple answer to the Ran and forced the Meiri to revamp the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kavchas about Anas HaGuf Lachasman, you see that the Rashba himself was not a big oser of Anas HaGuf per se. So why did the Rashba ask the Kashmir by saying? Because this is Anas HaGuf Lachasman. L'chora, the only way to understand the Rashba in Yevamos, you know, you read Yevamos, you learn Yevamos just independently, mitz chalitzi, you read the Rashba, Rashba the Kasha, ooh, taka, there's a heter hanah, because there's heter nisuin. So you have to stop and ask yourself, wait a second, Rashba, hey, look at Rashba, you've been dating Rabbeinu, why are you asking this Kasha? You are the one in the Darim Daf Tezvav who doesn't believe in Anas HaGuf being a problem. So the answer is, well, no, the Rashba would respond and say, no, you didn't read the Meiri in Rosh Hashanah Kavchas. Even I have to reckon, I have to deal with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kavchas. I have to be made that Anas HaGuf Liachas Man being a problem. So that's why I'm asking my Kasha. Everyone buy into that? Everyone like that? Everyone's okay with what I just said? That the Rashba was willing to ask the Kasha in Yevamos because he himself had to modify what he held in the Darm. Depends which mahalach here. If you go with the mahalach that there's a din de araisa, that any lingering hanoah becomes problematic on the level of the araisa, and mitzvah verasin who fails a speaker a din, then the Rashba's kasha is a shtaka kasha. Rashba and Yevamos is a shtaka kasha as all the other Rishabs. The shtaka is the Ran. Just as the Ran was bothered with the kasha, hey, it's a hanoah saguf, it's a problem in the Torah, so to the Rashba is bothered hanoah saguf, albeit. If it would have been simultaneous, it wouldn't have been a kasha, but it's not. The ma'is, it is a lingering hanoah. Well, lingering hanoah saguf, the Rashba concedes is a problem in the Torah. That's why he asked the kasha. But if you're going to tell me that the Rashba personally holds that lingering hanoahs are not really a problem, there was a very, very localized problem with the Rabbanon of going into the mikvah b'mos hachama, because the guy's going to go in and then come out and go back in again and stay in and stay underwater again and keep on swimming in the hot and the oasis, cool himself down. Can someone please explain to me how that din derabbanan is going to play out in terms of chalitza? What exactly is going to happen? She's going to go do chalitza with the son of Shlomo Berezara. We're going to declare she's muteris l'nasei. And what are we afraid of? We're afraid she's going to do another chalitza. She had such a hanoah sagu, she got so excited to get her back her shidduch resume, she's going to go do another chalitza. It doesn't make any sense. So lech ora from the pashas of Rashba, the pashas of Rashba in Yevamos, who asked the kasha the other Bisharim were asking, notwithstanding what the Rashba held in Maseches Nedarim that Anas HaGuf doesn't pose a problem, and he still has the kasha, notwithstanding the Meiri's qualification of the Rashba, l'chora it sounds from the put this picture of the Rashba together that this is the emes in the Rashba. The Moshe talks a lot about this Rashba, the tshuva. It's one of the wildest tshuvas that Moshe has. It's a tshuva written in Chelek Aleph, where. And he was the Rav in Luban, a place in Russia. He was a Rav under the communists till late into the 1930s. The communists were closing all the shuls and all the yeshivas and all the mikvahs and everything. And Rav Moshe was pretty much under house arrest. They say that they weren't so tough with him as they were with others, because Rav Moshe was a very, very quiet man. So, you know, he didn't give me any, you know, didn't get him to say anything politically, didn't get him to say any drushas against it. He just sat and learned and said Shurim and Toskin Shilas and real Chuvas, and he left them alone today, for the most part left them alone. Almost. The end, they made life so miserable for him that he also ended up leaving, which Baruch Hashem in the end saved him and his family's life when he left Europe in the 1930s. But for a few years he was a Rav in under communist Russia. And one of the issues, one of the big challenges was the building of mikvahs. The Soviets closed all the mikvahs. So there was a whole stunt about how to build a mikveh, not only to build it under the communist noses, but to actually get them to pay for it. Because the communists were trying to build pools, trying to build public swimming pools. They wanted to encourage everybody to exercise, to get shape, and be strong communists. So they were building a swimming pool in Ramosha's area. So Ramosha was able to finagle in such a way that the pool was built, that it was kosher mikvah for the summer pigeons. It was a big mach like this, but they built it in such a way that at least B'shas HaChach was technically a kosher mikvah. But then there was a problem. The Russians had no idea what was going on. But then the problem was that there was mixed swimming. So when we're going to go to the mikvah, so Moshe prevailed upon the authorities to have the whole goal was to try as a public service to help people be able to go swimming and exercise. So he said that the Jewish women are not going to go because they're not going to feel comfortable. So he can scream it up from their toilet, but they're not going to go. So he said, give them one or two nights a week. So give them separate women's hours. He prevailed upon the Russians also to do that. So all the women who had to go to the mikvah would go to the mikvah that those nights. So Punk, I think the way it worked out was that they got Friday night. Friday night was the night that was open for the women to quote unquote go swimming. So all the from women would go to the mikvah Friday night. So the problem was that go figure their luck that the mikvahs were heated, and they were heated by the Jewish communists. The Jew was running the mikvah. He was running the swimming pool. He was heating up the water on Friday night. So there's a whole other shaila. You're allowed to go into water that normally you're not allowed to bathe in water that was cooked, that was heated in Shabbos Biyasa. That's an Issa Gober. So Ramosha discusses that since you're going B'toras Tvila, so maybe you could argue Mitzvah L'Avodas Tenu. Even though I'm also better, it's probably pretty chilly in Russia. In the middle of July, it's probably pretty cold the other whole year. Winter time is pretty, pretty cold. So you go into the good hot water, is the opposite of Mayim Bimosa Chama. It's a hot bath, it's a hot tub, Bimosa Geshomim. So people, it's going to be very, very good. So it's going to be a Nosa Guf. So Moshe says, oh, you're not allowed to be Nana for Maisa Shabbos. According to the Ran, it's a problem. So he wants to be Makel based on the Rashba that Hanosa Guf is Mutter, Ayat Salasim and the Rabbanan, maybe Machom Shasa Chagom, they didn't make it. A whole long, long tshuva about all the klimsim, all the ways to finagle to build this mikvah that should be Mutter, Mamish in the middle of Soviet Russia. Strange is their life. Anyway, get back, yeah.
If I am correct, the mitzvah of Tvila become tar, and you're not tar when you're in the water, you're tar when you come out of the water.
That's a very, very long shishah, there's a submission about that. When do you become tar? When do you go out? I don't know whether that's going to, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm going in and I'm feeling warm. I'm comfortable right now, and I don't get the mitzvah. I don't know. It's a long this about that. Nav Kamina, guy's under the water, forgot to make a bracha. Boom, boom, boom. He's going to make a bracha under the water. Okay. Rabbi, so get back to that story. So, we spoke a lot about mitzvah and others, and one thing is clear, that it works in lulav. I mean, at the end of the day, we're learning the sukkah, remember? Everyone remembers what Masechta we're learning? Yevamos, Rosh Hashanah, right? We're telling stories about hot mikvahs in Russia. We're learning the sukkah, daf lamed alpha base. So, a bit something else that works gavaldi for lulav, great. Chachila, it's not the nicest thing, lo yitha, most the gavaya, but at the end of the day, it's good. There's no hanos, a guf by lulav, everything is one. Maybe one has to put the bricks in this tomorrow. Comes the Balamor and Masechta Rosh Hashanah with a startling statement. Did I put it in my recovery? Did I put the Balamor? How'd that happen? No? Comes the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah and says, you can use a shofar shel Aved Zarah, that's okay. Mitztav Yodas Denu. You can use it on Rosh Hashanah. But you know when you can't use it? You can't use it for a Tainis Tzibur. There's a whole machlekes in Rosh Hashanah. What do you do on Tainis Tzibur? You blow shofar, chatzotzer, rub, no, tomo. But assuming you're blowing shofar on Tainis Tzibur, you can't use a shofar shel Aved Zarah. You know why? Because blowing shofar on the Tainis Tzibur is not a mitzvah minatar, it's not a mitzvah minatar. And therefore, mitzvah drabanim, mitzvah salim hanis minu. Hanof, mitzvah drabanim, that's a problem. According to that Balamor, it comes out unbelievable chumrah. Mamish, counterintuitive chumrah. Comes the first day, so okay, so the guy wants to shake a lulav shel Aved Zarah. What do we say to him? Great, come on, look, achtami, amarishas, their eyes said nothing wrong. Comes the third day, chalamoyed, not in the mikdash. He wants to shake, he's got his lulav shel Asherah, he's got his, the middle of Bergenfield, he's got his lulav from an Asherah tree, right? Talked about this last year, lulav shel Asherah, okay? He's got a lulav shel Asherah, and he wants to shake it on third day Chol HaMoed, and he learned the sugyas, he said all the teiras, mitzvah, he understood him, and what does the Balamor turn around and say to him? Sorry, Charlie, it's only a mitzvah derabbanan, mitzvah derabbanan, mitzvah salih hanas nitnu. You can't shake the lulav on Chol HaMoed, you can be here the first day, not on Chol HaMoed. This is the trivia question of the year. He said, give me a case where you yotzi on the first day and not yotzi on the subsequent days. It's crazy. It's always the opposite. No, this is the case. A lulav shel avodah zarah is okay on the first day because it's covered by mitzvah avihanus, because a mitzvah derais is called avihanus, and a mitzvah derabanan is not. That's what some achrayim that could say. Another achrayim say, it doesn't make any sense. Why is a mitzvah derabanan called lehanus? What's the great hanah? What's my hanah? What am I getting? I'm listening to the rabbi. I'm doing a religious experience. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing a mitzvah. So what do you mean it's a hanah? What does the Baal Mor mean? So a group of acharonim say, this lady has this other side, that we misunderstood, misread the Baal Mor. The Baal Mor didn't mean that the hanah is a mitzvah proper and a mitzvah derabanan poses a problem. Why should it pose any more of a problem than a deraisa? What the Baal Mor meant was, if and when you have a hanah is a mitzvah, combined with hanah saguf. Now by shofar, sometimes you do. Because shofar is a kishmak. Anyone about to care? Okay, when you blow shofar and it comes out good, what do you feel? You walk around collecting mazel tovs. Walk around collecting shkoyach. Ah, kishmak. Right, I feel like this is a good year. Come and group Rechmerim and say that all the Baal Mor meant was as follows. This idea that hanah saguf is also mutter. The Rashba and the Meiri. The Ran would never say such a thing. But these we shared in Mohol that a Nasa Guf can also be Mutter. What? Why is a Nasa Guf Mutter? Because it's Batal and Tafel to what? To the Hanas what? Hanas Mitzvah. Bamed to Bamamurim, it's Batal and Tafel to Hanas Mitzvah. That's when the Hanas Mitzvah exists, at a level of Deraisa. If it's only a Mitzvah to Rabbanan, if you ask Meshe Rabbeinu, be Magda, what is this Hanas? Is this called Hanas Mitzvah or Nasa Guf? So when you're dealing with the mitzvah derais, a shofar Rosh Hashanah, the guy blows shofar, feels like he's the greatest thing in the world. He's walking around full of pride on Rosh Hashanah itself. Big bal gaiva. He's got his hanos aguf with hanos mitzvah. He asks Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, what hanos did this person do? Be magde, please. Define for me the hanos. Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Tekiyah shofar, first day of Hashanah. Chodesh Hashanah, Biyachad L'chodesh. Another guy comes and blows shofar in the Titus Tibur, and he's also walking around a big bal gaiva on the Titus Tibur. It's the greatest thing in the world. His ego needs a little tiny soul stuff. He's feeling great about himself, and he asks Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the name of this hanah? Is this hanah a mitzvah, and therefore it's mutter? Is this hanah a guf, and therefore it's also? What Moshe Rabbeinu say? He say, it's hanah a guf. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu would say, I never heard of what? Never heard of mitzvah to blow shofar at Tainis. That's another. Never heard of that mitzvah. It doesn't exist in my book. Not one of the 613. So on a level of the araisa, when you're magdia, what is this called? Is this called hanah a mitzvah, hanah a guf? You can only call Anas mitzvah and subsume the Anas aguf under the Anas mitzvah only if and when it's a mitzvah deraisa. That's all the Baal Mor meant. But to say that you have a mitzvah derabanan just bifle atzmai, oh bifle atzmai, a mitzvah derabanan, there's no Anas aguf, and you tell me, oh sorry Charlie, it's asur, doesn't make any sense. Why should mitzvah derabanan be more of a mitzvah derabanan than a mitzvah deraisa? Therefore, going back to our case in Masechta Sukkah, the guy who shakes the lulav shell of Avodah Zarah on the third day Chol HaMoed, what is the grace hanos aguf that he's getting? Absolutely nothing. All he's getting is hanos mitzvah. Hanos mitzvah is good. Hanos mitzvah is not a problem. You know what the poskim talk about this Baal Mor? If a person wants to use oil for Neris Chanukah, that's asa b'hanos. It's a whole tumul in the Echorinim. A guy has butter that was cooked in a fleshik frying pan. So now it's bas b'chalav. It's also by now. And he wants to use that. That's in Neris Chanukah. So the Shari Tshuva in Ovis Chanukah quotes a whole tumah from the Acharonim about is that a problem or not. So one of the things they throw around is that maybe that's not called Hanah because it's a mitzvah derabanan. I'm sorry, maybe it's not called Hanah because mitzvah derabanan didn't know. And therefore it's not called Binen and Bibas B'chalav. And others say no. Others say that it's only a mitzvah derabanan. And others say no. The Baal Mor never meant that. Back and forth. And others say it's also because it's Bishul Bas B'chalav. When you put it into your menorah and you put the little wick in, it's in the fire, so you're cooking the bas b'chalav. So they go to town, and they're reading his bashal, yesh b'shalachadeh. You could spend weeks talking about that childish archuva, about whether that's called the problem of being nana of the dishal bas b'chalav. But one of the things that gets thrown into that show, into that mix, is this idea of mitzvah derabanan. So Rabbi said, when all the dust settles, we have Agamara says you can use the lulav shel avodah zarah, it's fine, nothing to worry about, the chachila not, but mikra then it's okay. Mitzvah having honest then, no. Well, I mean, sometimes. So then that should be a problem. But again, according to the Rashba, that's okay. Because maybe it's anos aguf b'shasa mitzvah. Maybe it's anos aguf that lingers on, but you wouldn't do it again. And you have to think it through a little bit. So Rabbi said, when all the dust settles, the lulav shel avodah zarah is okay, unless there's another factor present. And what is the other factor present that totally unravels everything? If nebuch, it's what? If it's kesusim mechtashirei. If it's a type of an avodah zarah that's subject to be destroyed, to be sreifa, that's kesusim mechtashirei, then and only then do we have a problem. Then we have a whole other problem. Then we have a whole other half of a sugya. So that hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, set the stage, Mitzvah Hashem, for tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow, where, when, how, what. We'll see what the decision is tomorrow. But that sets the stage for the next sugya of not the lulav shel avodah zarah, but that's the next sugya, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. So we have two more. We have the lulav shel avodah zarah to try to identify what kind of a lulav is subject to ksusa mechtashirei. Then we have another sugya about what exactly is the problem of ksusa mechtashirei. So we had a lot more work cut out for us in terms of the lulav shel avodah zarah. What's going to probably happen, I imagine, is either hopefully we'll have shir tomorrow in some shape or form, see what the roads are like, and then we'll go a little bit into next week with that sugya. And then this will probably be the next sugya before Pesach. We'll probably cut down a day or two of some Pesach in the next week. Then we'll, okay, good. And we should try to get ahead in the next...